The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Yes, Lord. The Bible says that on that day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. So in my mind, we might as well get used to calling on the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. Because whether you do it in the sanctuary, whether you find yourself calling his name in the grocery store, driving down I-75, there is something, come on, somebody, about the name Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Truly, once again, we thank God for life, a portion of health and strength, and for things being as well as they are. Prayers continue to go out to the Miller family, amen, as they prepare for the homegoing service of their daughter, Sister Jewel Mims. Continue to keep them in prayer. Coincidentally, like I mentioned earlier, not only did the Lord call their daughter home on this past Thursday, the funeral service is on this coming Friday, but Deacon Ray and Sister Eunice are celebrating a wedding anniversary on today. Come on, somebody. So there's a lot that can happen. That can happen from Sunday to Sunday, from day to day. And yet, God says, I'm here. And there's still something about the name of Jesus. Amen. If you weren't here earlier to hear the text, I've asked that you please mark your Bibles for the book of Mark, chapter 10. But since it's just us, come on, somebody, I figure I'm going to take some time to teach from the Word of God. And so I want you to mark your Bibles from the book of Exodus, chapter 32. I also want you to mark it for Luke, chapter 10. It'll make sense to you as the Holy Spirit moves. And when somebody asks you who preached today, tell them the Holy Spirit did. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so for the reading of the word. Amen. Mark chapter 10 is from whence the word of God will come. I've chosen today the English Standard Version, but again, I'll declare I'm reading from the Bible. It'll read slightly different from whether it's traditional King James or New King James Version of the Bible. Mark 10, 17 through 22. That's from what I read. The English Standard Version says, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Verse 20 says, and he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Verse 22 says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Right. Today, on this fifth Sunday of March, the 31st, 2019, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Come on, somebody. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, amen, and amen. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Let me open up by saying that you and I can either spend our lives in eternity full of regrets, or we can devote our lives wholly to Christ and experience the blessings of abundant life. I would contend, I believe that since we're here, I'm talking to some honest folk who don't mind just being honest. I would contend that for all of us, we've either experienced or said one time or maybe multiple times throughout our lives, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Hear it a lot at funerals, especially, you know, someone that says, I woulda visited my parents or my grandparents more, but it was just such a long drive. Hear people every now and then say, I coulda done better on that test, but I wanted to hang out with friends. I shoulda devoted more time to service, but I was always so tired after work. Many times, my brothers and my sisters, our woulda, coulda, shoulda moments pass practically unnoticed. But at other times, we might go practically our whole life regretting a poor decision or a poor choice, something we woulda done better, something we coulda done better, something we shoulda done better. Come on, somebody. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we revisit the familiar story of a young man often called the rich young ruler. Now, of course, I've read from the text here in Mark, but of course, it's found in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Rich young ruler. So some people even wonder, how did we get to that? Well, Matthew tells us, and then in that account, in case you want to take notes, that's in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Matthew tells us he was a young man. Luke, in his account, Luke 18, 18 through 23, he describes him as a ruler. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that he was rich, thus the rich young ruler. Now, he was a man who had two things. He had everything, Brown, and he had nothing. Come on, somebody. He was wealthy and successful, yet still searching for something more in life. But he turned away from Jesus with nothing. As we examine this encounter, I want you and I to glean some life lessons for us to avoid some woulda, coulda, shoulda moments, or more critically, avoid any more times in our life regretting another poor decision or another poor choice. In our text, the young ruler runs up to Jesus and he has a burning question on his mind. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, on the surface, it seems like a simple enough question. So simple that Jesus gives a simple answer. He basically says to him what amounts to obey the law or keep the commandments. Now, I got Bible readers in here, and you all know that I'm an inquisitive Bible reader. So when I read that, Sister Nakia, I got to scratching my head at Jesus' response to the young man's question. Because when I read obey the law in essence or keep the commandments, I mean, I'm thinking, why would Jesus tell somebody to keep the commandments to find eternal life? Because we all know that nobody ever makes it into God's kingdom by simply obeying rules and regulations. Am I talking to anybody in here? So you gotta ask yourself then, Deacon McFarland, what was Jesus doing? Think about it. Think about this. It's just us. I'm going to take my time. Think about it. Every Jew knew the Ten Commandments by heart, teaching this place, Holy Ghost, all right? They knew them so well. They knew the Ten Commandments by heart the same way that you and I can easily count from 1 to 10. Now, you remember the Ten Commandments, right? Here's where the teaching comes in. The Ten Commandments were actually divided into two sections, all right? They were divided into two sections or two tablets, all right? You remember the scenes. Matter of fact, turn there now. Exodus chapter 32. You remember the scene in Exodus 32, starting around the 15th and 16th verse. Moses is coming down the mountain. He's coming down the mountain, and he is carrying two tablets. But then in verse 19 of your text, He nears the camp and he sees the calf and he sees those folk dancing at that idol. The Bible says he got angry and he threw the tablets out of his hands and they broke them at the foot of the mountain, right? Does your Bible say that? But here it is. What was written on those tablets was so important that if you just skipped over to Exodus 34, I didn't tell you to turn there, but since you're in Exodus, you can do it quickly. If you skip over to Exodus 34, you'll see where the Lord told Moses to carve for him two more tablets, huh? Amen. Two more tablets so that he, talking about the Lord himself, could write again on the stone the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm going somewhere here, so stay with me. Again, coming back to our text. Watch the text. In Mark 10, Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler who had just run up to him. And he asked the question. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey the law or keep the commandments. Now, here it is. Now, I imagine this young man who was Jewish, he knew the Ten Commandments by heart. Now, I know you're not Jewish and neither am I, but let me ask you, do you know all 10 of the commandments? I don't know. Well, just in case, go back to Exodus. I mean, there ain't no sense in y'all looking at me. What does the word say? Go back to Exodus 20. I want to show you something here. But keep your mark, your text mark. Watch this. Now, typically, whenever you think about the Ten Commandments, they're usually on a list. But if you ever Googled the Ten Commandments and you looked at the tablets and you remember the movies when Moses was carrying, they were actually divided into two sections. All right? Watch this. The first tablet was written on it, the first four commandments. All right? The first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. He says we should have no other gods. We shouldn't make and worship idols. That's why Moses got so fired up. We should never take God's name in vain, and we should remember the Sabbath. That was on the first tablet. The second tablet contained the other six commandments, which have to do with how we relate to one another. Now, here's the teaching moment. Watch this. When Jesus is talking to the young ruler, teach Holy Ghost, look, while he's talking to the rich young ruler, he's actually referencing him to the second tablet, teaching this place, Holy Ghost. He's referencing him to the second tablet. But watch this, go back to Mark 10. When he gives him the commandments, he actually intentionally omits one of the commandments. Am I talking to anybody in this house? See, you might not have caught it. I didn't catch it before initially either, but thanks to the Holy Spirit. Because remember, we haven't necessarily memorized the Ten Commandments. You know what we do? We just read the Bible. We just read the Bible. We see what Jesus said. We know the story, but we're not getting the life lesson. So he gives him the commandments, but he actually intentionally omits one of the commandments. And if we're not careful, we would have missed it. Think about it. If I said I'm going to count to 10, and I said 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you would say what? Wait a minute. You skipped something. You missed number 3. Jesus left a commandment out for this rich young ruler. So I would ask you, it's kind of not even a riddle. I would ask you, when you're looking at the list, which one did he miss? Go back to Mark. Let's look at him. All right? He said, now look, he gave him the commandments and they weren't any particular order. Think about that. Even though they're listed from 1 to 10, and I get it, but they're not necessarily steps. They're just the commandments. All right? So when he gave them to him, he didn't give him any order. So he said what? He said, do not murder. Check. Don't commit adultery. Check. Don't steal. Check. You got to watch this because in essence, that one is, although it's a comma, it's the same commandment. Don't bear false witness or defraud. Check. Honor your father and your mother. Check. So which one did he leave off intentionally? Be careful. See, I'm teaching in here. Remember, I just told y'all, when Jesus is talking, he's referencing the second tablet. The one y'all mentioned is on the first tablet. We on the second tablet. Which one did he miss intentionally? I'll give you the answer. Which one did you say? Don't covet. Watch this. God Almighty, watch it. Watch it. So he leaves off, do not covet. Covet, of course, means to desire, to have more stuff. Watch this, especially something or someone that belongs to someone else. He intentionally left that off. Why did he leave it off? Because Jesus knew that this was this young man's problem. But here's the problem. The young man, when Jesus says, keep the commandments, I can almost see him smiling. You know how proud we get. I know the answer to that question, teacher. He says, I've kept all these since I was a boy. It's about like folk, I don't mean no harm, but it's about like them folk, you try to tell them something, but they can't be taught, and they say, I've been in church all my life. They know everything. Huh? But you can't know everything and know nothing because you're missing it. He said, I've kept all these since I was a boy. But remember, Jesus left one out. So when he says that to Jesus, what does Jesus respond? He said, but there's one thing. See, Jesus knows how to deal with a know-it-all. God Almighty. Y'all know any know-it-alls? Huh? Jesus knows how to deal with a know-it-all. He said, but there's one thing. He said, there's one thing you lack. You see, this young man already had a good life. But here's the problem. If you're taking notes, write this down. He had a good life, but his God, small g, his God was gold, and his creed was greed. His God, small g, was gold, and his creed was greed. But I will say this to some of you who were thinking about that other commandment. There really still is only room for one God, big G, on the throne of your life. Amen. So if you're looking up at the screen, there are no screen. You're going to have to take notes. You're going to have to do this the old way. You're going to take notes on your own. So if you need a life lesson, here's something you can write down. Jesus will probe your heart to expose any competing God, small g, yeah, because there's only room for one God, yeah, on the throne, yeah, of your life. Yeah. I'll say it again. Jesus will probe your heart, yeah, to expose any competing God, small g, because there's only room for one God, big G, on the throne of your life. What we must not miss here, just when we get too comfortable with the word of God, is that Jesus wanted to point out to this young ruler he had a problem with greed and covetousness. But here it is. Think about this. Belle, think about it. Jesus didn't just come out and say what the issue was. See, we love to call folk out. Jesus didn't just come out and say that's what his problem was. What he kept doing was he kept probing. He kept probing until the rich young ruler saw the problem himself. See, some folk want to just say, just tell me. Yeah, yeah. Well, if I tell you, then you won't be able to know it for yourself. See, what am I trying to get at, Dante? Here's what I'm getting at. Is the Holy Spirit is speaking and working on all of us right now. And I believe he is gently probing all of us right now until we see for ourselves that thing or that person or that activity or whatever it may be that has become more important to us than the true and living God. Whether you want to admit it, whether I want to admit it or not, be careful smiling back at the Lord saying, I've been good all my life. Be careful smiling back at the Lord and telling him everything we've done. I tithe, I go to Bible study, I ain't miss Sunday service, I do this, I do that. And he's still saying, you lack one thing. Because you coming to me about everything that you think you know about you, but I know you better than you know yourself. Watch the text. So Jesus gives him advice. He says, okay, you ask me a question. You're still coming at me with answers. Let me say this to you. Fitzgerald, he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Jesus said there was only one thing this ruler was lacking. Now, I'm about to say something here. I know I'm being recorded. I'm on the podcast. Some folk got their cell phone out below the pew. I know. I got copious note takers in the house. I know. But I contend that this verse here in verse 21 of Mark, and if you can get the similar verses in Matthew and Luke, But this verse here in 21 has caused more confusion and more consternation than perhaps any other verse in the Bible. Here's the teaching. There are a whole lot of people who teach, preach, and even try to live out this verse. Jesus said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. All right? So there are people who, when they hear that or when they read that, they think, okay, so I want to obey God. So then I should go and sell everything I have, give it to the poor, pledge a vow of poverty, and follow Jesus, right? So what would you tell them? Well, that's what the Bible says. But is that the interpretation? I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's what the Bible says, and it is. So don't get me wrong, I stand on the word of God, and I'm going to stand on the teaching here in a minute. So when someone says, okay, I want to obey God, so then per what the scriptures say, I should sell everything I have, give it to the poor, pledge a vow of poverty, and then follow Jesus. And so if you want to give them an answer, here's the short answer. I know I'm being recorded. Here's the short answer. You don't need to sell all your riches and let your riches have become the God in your life. I'm standing tall in this house. You don't have to sell all your riches unless your riches have become the God in your life. Here's another teaching moment. Watch this. Watch this. Think about this. Think about this, Keeling. Keeling 1 and Keeling 2. Think about this. The rich young ruler is the only person to whom Jesus actually ever spoke these words, sell all you have. That's why you got to read and study the Bible. Why is that significant, Sister Joy? Well, because think about it a moment. Nicodemus was wealthy, and Jesus never told him sell all of his possessions. Joseph of Arimathea, he was wealthy. And Jesus didn't say to him, sell all your possessions. Why not? Because the reason he didn't say that was because Jesus knew that their possessions didn't possess them. In other words, that wasn't their issue. Here's a teaching moment. Be careful trying to make what's worked for somebody else work for you. Because that might not be your issue. Quit making other folks remedy for their issues, the remedy for your issue, And you done took on an issue that God said, that's not you. He never told him that that wasn't their issue. But here's the problem. That's why some, when they see this text, they take it on. They actually take on the rich young ruler's issue. They take it on as their own, and they try to live it out and make it their own personal life. And when it doesn't work for them, guess what? They get mad at the Bible. They get mad at God. They get mad at church because they said, I did what the Bible said. But then the other problem is you got folk who sit up under the sound of the gospel who, when they hear, they read this text, and they dismiss it because they say, that ain't my issue. That ain't my problem. The problem is both sides and even those in the middle miss the message. Why? Because here's the life lesson. The life lesson is Jesus provides a personal solution to remove any issue, problem, thing, activity, person, etc., that has become competing gods, small g, in your life. Whether you know it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not. Jesus looked into the rich young ruler's heart, and he saw that money was his God, small g. And he wanted more and more and more. That's what it means to covet. Now be careful dismissing this because you say, money ain't my issue. Well, at least you admit you got some. Did you see what I just said? Because some folk will make you think they don't have issues, but you got to listen to folk real closely, Sister Graham. They say, well, I don't know why he preaching that. Money ain't my issue. At least you admit you got some issues. Your challenge is find out what your issue is. Because just like I was taught, your issue is you sometimes. Jesus looked into this rich young ruler's heart and he saw that money was his God, and he wanted more and more and more. That's what it means to covet. So Jesus was simply giving this young ruler a solution to get rid of that false God in his life. But notice what Jesus said. Watch what he said. Watch the text. He said, you aren't losing your treasure. He said, you're not losing it by giving it to the poor. Mm-mm. See, people think when they give stuff away, they're losing it. Mm-mm. He says, what you're doing is you're actually laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus. He said, you're actually laying up treasures in heaven. In other words, you're just transferring your wealth. And that's why you got to be careful. This stuff we hold on to don't belong to you. We are stewards. And that's why I said every now and then, God will put somebody else's money in your pocket. Amen. And thank God. But he said, you aren't losing your treasure by giving it to the poor. Mm-mm. Wait, let me just help somebody else. Let me loosen up your check. But you're not losing your money by paying your tithe to the church. You land up treasures in heaven. Amen. You're just transferring your wealth. And if every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday you say you can't pay a tithe, then you better find out what that God is in your life that's got more control over you than what the Word says we're supposed to do with God's stuff. But here's the teaching too. Jesus designs a different solution for each person. I'm almost through. But can I show you something else? Monique, I'm going to throw this. This is for free. Y'all don't have to take up no special love offering, no collection. This is, okay? Can I show you something? Now, I told y'all that this story, this account is written across three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? I told you it's right here in Mark 10, right? But I also told you it's in Matthew, and I told you it's in Matthew 19, right? And it's in Luke 18. But I had you mark your Bibles from Luke 10, right? So I'm not going to go to Luke 18 and show y'all the same story. I want y'all to go to Luke 10. I'm about to show you something, Griffin. So I want you to turn to Luke 10. Watch this. So in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, I'm not going to read it, but I just need you to be there. In Luke 10, 25 through 37, there's a lawyer, all right? There's a lawyer who comes to Jesus, and I want you to see something. He asked Jesus the same question. Did you see that? This is not the same story. This story is in Luke 18. I'm in Luke 10. I hope you are too. And in Luke 10, there is a lawyer who comes up to Jesus and he asks Jesus the same exact question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Does your Bible say that? Can I tell you something? And maybe you can see it for yourself. Look at Jesus' response. Because what Jesus didn't say to the lawyer was, sell all you have and give to the poor. Ask the same question, but he didn't give him the same response. Why not? Because he knew that wasn't this man's problem. Jesus. See, we got folk messing up in church because they're trying to do what other folk who messed up in church did and worked for them. And that ain't what, you need to ask, what is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying? Huh? Yeah. Jesus didn't tell this lawyer, sell all you have and give to the poor, because that wasn't his problem. I would ask you, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, what was this man's problem here in Luke 10 was pride. He had a pride problem. Wait a minute, don't raise your hand and don't look around. But you know anybody that's got a pride problem? I'm not saying it's not okay to be proud, but become pride when pride becomes your small g. Huh? This man's problem was pride. And so Jesus asked him, he says, what are the greatest commandments? So of course the Lord says in verse 27, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say to him in verse 28? In essence, he says, correct. Correct. But do you know anybody, even when you try to give them word in the scripture, they're always looking for a loophole? Everybody will want to make the scripture fit them. I mean, I know what the Bible, I mean, but everybody look for a loophole. So, and we all want to hear correct, but he was looking for a loophole. So he says correct, but you see, in verse 29, he had to say, wait a minute, that was too easy. In a sense, the lawyer said, that was almost too easy. So then he's looking for a loophole, because if Jesus said, you correct, about what I just said, he says that I need to, you know, love the Lord and the strength and my mind and the neighbor as myself. Then he says, but who is my neighbor? Because who is my neighbor, Jesus? And what he wanted Jesus to say was, all your Jewish brothers and sisters. That's what he wanted him to say. But instead, Jesus told him a story. You know, Jesus is a storyteller. Told him a story of a good Samaritan. A good Samaritan, in a sense, was a half-breed. And Jesus saw that this man's God, his small g, was pride. And so he said, love your neighbor, even your Gentile neighbor. In other words, and I think I made my point, and that being, if you have a competing God, small g, ruling your life, I don't care if it's a person, place, a thing, an activity, a possession, etc. Jesus will give you a unique word to replace that small g with the true and living big G. Amen. That's why you come and sit under the gospel. And that's why when you read the Bible, you need to ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying about me? And what do you want to say through me? And be careful, me sitting in church all the time and saying, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. No, there's a word for you. There's a word for you. And be careful, this might not be the word for you to go run and tell that. Okay? Because I get it, but at least go tell them where the scripture was. And when they say who preached, tell them what? The Holy Spirit. As I get ready to close, here's some more of the teaching, and I'm about to let you go. The word is always, and when it comes to us, there's always a personal choice. Back in Mark 10, verse 22, the Bible says that he went away sad or sorrowful because he had great wealth or possessions. If you're taking notes, you can write this down too. Again, for your teaching, any Bible readers, Mark is the only one. This is told in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Mark is the only one in telling of this account who gives us the tiny detail in verse 21. And the tiny detail is this. He's the only one that if, when you read it, it says, Jesus looked at the young man, watch this, and loved him. There's the tiny detail. He looked at the young man and loved him. Why is that an important detail? That's why I specifically chose Mark's account. Why is that a tiny detail and why is that an important big detail? Because we know that God loves the world. You can play. We know that God loves the world. We do. I mean, one of my favorite verses is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I mean, we know that God loves everyone. But I need to stress upon everybody here up under the sound of my voice, don't forget that God loves individuals. All right? He looks at and thinks about you. You. All right? And he loves you. All right? He loves everyone, but you need to know he loves you. The Bible says he looked at him and loved him. All right? Listen. He looks at each and every one of us. Because you need to know, Jesus didn't really want this young ruler to make a wrong choice. He really wanted him to make a right choice. But here's the lesson. Jesus does offer eternal life, and it is free for everyone. Yes, even you. But he won't force you to follow him. Someone once wrote, and I wrote it down, and that's kind of how I came up with the title. Someone once wrote that the saddest words of tongue and pen are these four words, what might have been. I'll say it again. The saddest words of tongue or pen are these four words, what might have been. Or to put it another way, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I believe I've said it before, but I believe it bears repeating. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. But there is one area of the universe where he has voluntarily restricted his omnipotence. And it's in the area of your will. God will not force you to accept his gift of eternal life. But just remember, it is impossible for anyone to gain salvation through his or her own merit. This rich young ruler trusted his wealth. But I need to ask you, what are you trusting, or who are you trusting today? Is there a competing God in your life? Every one of us, and that was what the name, I mean, yes, every one of us have to come to Jesus, but I need to say this, but we all have to come to Jesus the same way. We're talking about the rich young ruler, and that was well over 2,000 years ago, that story. Let me talk about something we got today. Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, super rich. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. Warren Buffett, etc. They are all extremely rich men. But even they need to come to Jesus the same way as you or I, or even as a homeless man or woman. No matter who, the man, woman, boy, or girl, they have to acknowledge their complete and utter need and come as a guilty sinner to receive the eternal gift of life from Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be a beggar, you can be a thief, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, Native American, African American, Hispanic American, Asian American, or not even American at all. Anybody and everybody needs to know there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. I'm going to give it to you straight from the Word of God. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There may be somebody here today who has a competing God ruling your life. You may think you have everything or even everybody that you need. But Jesus is looking at you, and he's looking at me today. And first of all, he wants you to know he loves you. But he's also looking into our hearts. And we won't raise our hand, and we'll dress it up. But he's looking into our hearts, and he's saying, you need to get rid of all those idols and follow me. He said, I can give you a life that is really worth living and a future worth having. Now, you can say this to somebody, because what God does not want is for anybody to get to the end of life and spend eternity in the wrong place, saying woulda, coulda, shoulda. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church actually stand open until Jesus returns. So all I do is extend an invitation. The invitation is simply for any man, woman, boy, or girl, the last thing you want
to
do.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.